When we learn about Avraham Avinu, our forefather Avraham, in the Torah, his story is essentially spread over two parashas. The Rebbe will explain to us how those two parashas indicate two major chapters of Avraham's life, which carry a very powerful lesson. Amar Azal, Shesefer Bereishis Nikra B'Shem Sefer HaYoshar. So our sages tell us in the Gemara that this book of Bereishis, the first book of the Torah, is called the Upright Book. Why? The Fisher says Sefer Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Shenikru Yesharim, because these are the stories of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, the paragons of Judaism, who are called Yesharim, upright individuals. Omnom Afsha Sefer Bereishis Bichlalus Nikra Al Shem Kol Shleishis Avos. Even though, of course, the whole book of Bereishis centers on these three major characters, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Nevertheless, which basically means that the whole of Bereishis relates somehow to all three of them, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Nevertheless, however, of course, there are certain parashas that center on one of, and not the other two, of the avos. So the two parashas that center exclusively on Avraham Avinu are Lech Lecha and Vayera, our parasha this week. So now immediately you have to say, okay, so there's two parashas that center on Avraham Avinu. When we say center on Avraham Avinu, obviously in Chayei Sarah we still read about Avraham Avinu, and we get a glimpse of Avraham Avinu already in Parashas Noach, but the parashas that center exclusively on Avraham are Lech Lecha and Vayera. So that's, so to speak, his story. Why then is it split into two parashas? So that must tell us, must be because it's telling us two different chapters of his life, which implies two different stages of the persona of Avraham Avinu, two different stages of his spiritual service. Obviously, whatever story we're going to read about Avraham Avinu is going to be the story of how he served Hashem. So if that story is split into two parashas, that means that there are two major elements or components to how Avraham Avinu served Hashem, as expressed in these parashas. So where's the first place to start? You want to pick up what the primary theme of each of the two parashas is that speaks about Avraham Avinu. The first place to look is at the name, because the name of something in Judaism expresses what that concept or what that story, what that book, what that parasha is all about. So by examining the names Lech Lecha and Vayera, which are the two parashas that speak about Avraham Avinu, that will give us an incredible insight into the two major stages of Avraham Avinu's service of Hashem. There's a very obvious and clear and important distinction between Avraham Avinu as he is in Lech Lecha and as he is in Vayera. What is the difference? We'll see in a second. But it's Avraham Avinu, k'mo shehaya koidem hi kansoi bivris mila. Most of, right until the last little bit of Lech Lecha, is all about Avraham Avinu prior to having a bris. Then the very last part of the parasha tells us he was instructed to have a bris for him and his family, and he in fact did so. Whereas Parashas Vayera focuses on Avraham Avinu starting from the story after his bris. So there's the Avraham pre-bris, and there's Avraham post-bris. And we're going to see these distinctions playing out in the different names of the two parashas, what Lech Lecha represents and what Vayera represents, as talking to the theme of Avraham pre-bris and Avraham post-bris. To understand that is a bizoyar. That Shaloinim al Avraham hoyso dargis nevoasei bevechinas hoyo dvar Hashem el Avraham bamachaze. So the Zohar points out that if you have a look at the language of the Torah, when Hashem appears to Avraham Avinu before he has a bris, he appears in a state called machaze, a vision. Whereas post-bris, it says that Hashem appeared to Avraham. Now, at this point, that might sound like semantics. What's the difference between appearing to Avraham and Avraham seeing a vision? We're going to see. Firstly, the Zohar over there gives a reason why there has to be this distinction. And the reason will be a little bit perplexing to us. As we unpack the reason, it will help us to understand better what's going on and what the distinction is between the two states of revelation. So what does the Zohar say? The fish amalach ha'shores einen miskachim loshen targem v'lochen ad shenimoy lohoya ha'gil elov v'chinas machazeh shodoshen targum kedei shlo yipisam pel amalach ha'shores ha'kodesh baruch miskal lodim sheinim mohu. So the Zohar says something really interesting. We know, the Gemara talks about it elsewhere, we know the principle that the angels are not familiar, they're not able to share our tefillos, they're not able to engage with the Aramaic language. For whatever reason it is, that's a language that's kind of off limits for the angels. So Hashem appears to Avram, b'machazeh, machazeh is fundamentally an Aramaic-based word, the idea of chazi, like we say in the Gemara, tochazi. Yerushalmi often uses that expression, go see, come see this proof. So machazeh is rooted in an Aramaic-based word to indicate that Hashem almost didn't want the malachim to know that he was giving prophecy to Avram, so they shouldn't have any complaints. How could somebody who hasn't yet had a bris experience prophecy? Whereas after Avram Avinu had a bris, so now there's no secrets anymore, there's no issue, the malachim would not protest the fact that he experiences prophecy, so therefore Hashem appears to him in a more direct fashion, represented by a word in Lashon Kodesh, which indicates that it's a higher level of prophecy. So there's our first insight. Lower level of prophecy before he has a bris, higher level of prophecy after he has a bris. But the obvious question is, what's going on over here? We're worried about what the angels are going to say. That's the big concern. So the Rebbe says, either way you look at this, the story doesn't seem to make sense. Let's assume that Avraham Avinu, before he had a bris, was at a level where he deserved full prophecy from Hashem. So why would Avraham Avinu then lose out on an experience that he deserves to have just simply because we're afraid that there'll be complaints from the Malachim? That doesn't seem to make any sense, given what he deserves. And if you're worried that the Malachim are going to say something, Hashem has many, many channels that he could use to still the arguments of the Malachim. So instead of withholding prophecy from Avraham Avinu, if he deserves it because you're afraid of the Malachim, find a way to deal with the Malachim. On the other hand, and if for whatever reason it is, Avram was not yet at a level where he deserved such an incredible revelation of Vayera Elov that Hashem himself would appear to him, so if that's the case, so don't excuse it by saying the angels are going to complain. Just simply, he's not ready for this level of revelation. So it doesn't seem to make sense. Surely the decision as to whether or not Avraham Avinu should experience prophecy should be completely dependent on his spiritual readiness and should have nothing to do with the angels and their complaints. Why then would the Torah, Dafka, or the Zohar at least, Dafka, make an issue of, well, the angels are going to complain? So, to understand this principle, we have to, as is often the case, particularly when you deal with Kabbalistic literature, we have to appreciate that the story of the Malachim is not necessarily to be taken just at face value, because they would protest, and therefore they have a point. There's obviously something deeper happening over here. Yuvan Zeh, to understand that deeper thing, we have to first appreciate B'Haktam HaMavur B'Teira Oyer. We have to first understand a principle that the Alter Rebbe teaches in Teira Oyer about the difference between language. So the Alter Rebbe explains that the distinction between Lashon Kodesh, the holy language of Torah, and other languages, in this case Aramaic, but the truth is it could refer to any language, would be similar to the difference between rocks and bricks. Rocks are obviously natural and bricks are human-made. So Evan Hibriya Bidei Shomayim, a rock, a stone, is something Hashem made. Whereas a brick is fashioned by human hands. We'll see a similar distinction between languages. There's a lot of correlation between the concept of language and the concept of construction. Just as you build a building out of many bricks that are collated into walls that then become buildings, So in the same way, you take letters, which are like the bricks, which become words, which are then constructed into sentences and eventually into a full story. So depending on what material you use to build the building will determine the difference of the structural integrity, the strength of the building, and likewise the different words or letters that you use to build your conversation will make a difference to the spiritual integrity of your conversation. So Oisis HaTorah Nikrois Avonim Ki HaTorah Min HaShamayim Aval Oisis Sholoshonis Umis Nikroim Levenim Shemuskomos Al Yidei Bnei Adam Levad. So the language with which Torah is built is Lashon HaKodesh. This is divine language. Hashem determined these letters. Hashem constructed this language, and therefore every nuance and every letter and every bit of this language is absolutely jam-packed with meaning, significance, and holiness. Other languages are just simply a group of people who came together and decided, shall we add this word to the lexicon? So every year you've got new words that are added to the dictionary, which are arbitrarily chosen to represent certain things that are going on in the world. So they're there for the purpose of communication, but they don't have that depth, and they certainly don't have holiness. Parenthetically, the Rebbe says, so why do we have these other languages? To afford us the opportunity to elevate those languages through imbuing them with a sense of holiness. Like right now, we're learning a sicha in English, so that allows us to elevate the English language from being just an arbitrary human creation to become a language that conveys and contains holiness. So what's the distinction? You have language that comes from God, you have language that is fashioned by humans, and they're fundamentally different. So now to appreciate who Avram Avinu is before he has a bris, when Hashem only speaks to him, so to speak, in foreign language, and who he is after he has a bris, when Hashem appears in the full power of Lashon HaKodesh, must be related to this stone versus brick kind of reality, divine made versus human made. And in fact, that's exactly what we're going to focus on, the distinction between Avraham Avinu as a self-made individual and Avraham Avinu when he's invited to do what Hashem intends for him to do. And you'll see exactly what that means because it's relevant to us. It's a big theme that we have in Chassidus, that we do know from various sources in Midrashim and Gemaras that Avraham Avinu kept the whole Torah even before he was instructed to do so. So there you've got the self-motivated individual. He pushes himself and he intuits what Hashem wants and he goes out and he does it. However, Chassidus explains that the impact, the spiritual level that he could reach through all of that input and through all of that work is only Shoresh HaNivroim, which means the highest spiritual source from where creation begins. And it's quite logical, because if a created being pushes itself as high as it can go, obviously the highest it can go is to where it originated, where it came from. So Avraham Avinu is able to climb the spiritual ladder higher, 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 until the ceiling of creation. That's as high as a person can go. With all of his mitzvahs and all of his dedication, he could only go as high as human endeavor could propel him. So that's, so to speak, like the bricks. Okay? So, lefish kol avidos b'lasa hoi b'koyach atzmoi b'li tzivoi shezer gam nesinas koyach mele mailo ve'im b'koyach shonivra lagia lemaile mim koyach shosh anivroim. And the reason for this is because whatever mitzvahs Avraham Avinu did prior to Hashem giving the Torah were all voluntary, which means they were all stimulated by human input, even though it's a great human being, and therefore did not have the tzivoi, the instruction of Hashem, which not only is an instruction, but it's also an empowerment to reach beyond ourselves. He did not have that empowerment, and so he did the absolute best that a human being could ever be expected to do, for which we hold him in tremendous esteem. Omnom calls their hoyo achikim mitzvus mila, but that all was only Avraham Avinu's reality until he had a bris, at which point everything changed. Because as we've already identified, any mitzvah that Avraham Avinu did up until that point in time was completely voluntary and had not been instructed and therefore had not been empowered by Hashem. Whereas when he was given a clear instruction from Hashem to have a bris, now what happens when you're told by Hashem to do a mitzvah? Everything changes. Now you're no longer doing a mitzvah just as a nice, intuitive, dedicated human. You're doing a mitzvah tied in to Hashem and the power that Hashem gives you as not only an instructor, but so to speak, an investor. In other words, Hashem invests his energy within you and says, right, let's so to speak, do this together. And so the person who's doing the mitzvah at that particular point in time loses a little bit of the sense of self and becomes enveloped in the sense of Hashem, which is way beyond the self and way beyond anything the self could ever achieve. So therefore, now suddenly you've been opened into a wormhole that allows you the opportunity by doing a mitzvah that Hashem has told you to reach something greater than the Shoresh HaNivroim, the spiritual source from where all of creation, yourself included, came. That's the threshold that Avraham Avinu crosses when he has the bris. Up until then, Avraham Avinu is pushing from the bottom up as hard as a human being can push upwards. After the time of the bris, he's being pulled by Hashem into a world that he never knew that humans could ever enter. Yeserem Izoi, beyond that. Not only does Avraham Avinu's service of Hashem now get a complete upgrade to a world that he could never have expected, stepping out of the world of human input into the world of Hashem's invitation, besides that, something happened to Avraham Avinu that's not just that he was kind of yanked up into a higher spiritual reality, but something much more than that. The old Avraham Avinu almost dissolved away to become a new Avraham Avinu that was completely united with Hashem in an incredibly unique fashion. And that's because of not just the fact that he was instructed to do a mitzvah, but which mitzvah it is that he was instructed to do. That is the uniqueness of the Bris Milah. Because what's unique about a bris is that the human flesh becomes this covenant with Hashem. Brisi bivsarchem, Hashem says, my covenant will be in your flesh, it will be indelibly part of you. It's not something just that you do, it's who you become. So that's the major distinction when Avraham Avinu has a bris. He crosses a threshold from being somebody who does things for Hashem to somebody who is intimately united with Hashem. Nimtzo, shedargas avidos shel Avraham kodem shekimitzus mila, shehigia bo rak ad sheyesh hanivroim oseh bedugas inyan halevena. So to go back to what we said earlier from the Torah Oir, that implies that up until the point that Avraham Avinu had the mitzvah of a bris, all of his dedication, all of the construction, all of the spiritual investment that he made on Hashem's behalf was like producing bricks, human endeavor. No matter how much effort he put in, no matter how much he upgraded himself spiritually, anything that Avraham Avinu would produce in terms of mitzvahs, in terms of davening, in terms of dedication, was all just human product. And human product has severe limitations. Whereas after Avraham Avinu had a bris, he gets upgraded into Hashem's product, stone, things that are made by Hashem. In other words, Maisei Yedei Shomayim, the handiwork of God. By fulfilling the mitzvah of bris milah, Avraham Avinu leaves himself, he transcends himself. He becomes completely absorbed and one and dedicated and willing to have bittul, which means complete self-effacement in favor of Hashem. So, from that moment and on, he's now no longer working as a human. He's working as a hybrid, a human being who is invested with divine energy to do things not only as Hashem wants them, but so to speak, at Hashem's level of achievement. So he breaks through all of the barriers of creation and he completely transcends reality as we know it. Now we understand why the Zohar points out that machazeh, the kind of interaction that happened between Hashem and Avraham Avinu, was, so to speak, translated into a different language, indicating, translated into the reality of the world. The interaction that Avraham Avinu had with Hashem at that point in time was only what's available in the ordinary world. Once he had the bris, the Zohar says, look, now we're talking Lashon HaKodesh, we're speaking Hashem's language. That's the point. You're operating in Hashem's reality. You're speaking Hashem's language. You've been absolutely transformed. So those are the two states of Avraham Avinu. You have the state of Avraham Avinu as human dedication prior to his bris. You have the state of Avraham Avinu working with absolute connection to Hashem after his bris. So now that we've established that there are these two phases of Avram's development and awareness and connection to Hashem, the Machazer phase and the Vayera phase, the phase of what he could input and the phase of what Hashem now empowered him to be able to achieve.
So
it's not just simply like it's like a match up. Here's how much effort Avraham Avinu was able to put in. So that's how much revelation of Hashem he was able to experience before his bris. And now after his bris, he's suddenly turbo boosted to have a completely different level of dedication. And therefore he has greater revelation. It's actually more than that. So it's not just a give and take, you know, you invest and then you earn, but rather the nature of the service of Avram before his bris is the same as the nature of the revelation he experienced, and likewise the nature of the service of Avram Avinu after his bris is aligned with the nature of the revelation of Hashem that happened after his bris. What does that mean? So we'll see an example from, generally speaking, how nevuah, how prophecy works, that will help us to understand this principle as it applied specifically to Avraham Avinu. The Omer Azal, very famous saying from the Chazal, kol hanevim nisnabu b'koi, moysef alei moysha shenisnabu b'zeh. That typically, if you go throughout Tanakh, you will typically see that the language of nevim is koi omar Hashem, so said Hashem. So therefore, the Chazal say that the experience of prophecy that the average prophet has is a koi kind of a prophecy, which is almost like a little bit distant. It's almost like secondhand information. Moshe Rabbeinu experienced above and beyond that the kind of prophecy called zeh. Zeh is, you can point at it. It's real, it's tangible, it's close, it's immediate, it's palpable. So what's the difference? So the distinction between the two possibilities of prophecy is that when a person prophesizes at the level of koi, they get the message, but it's what we call an unclear lens, or what we call the inability to see the essence of the message you're getting. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu Zeh means mare be'etzbo'oi, as the Gemara says. Where you literally point with your finger, as the Pasuk says, Hine lekeinu zeh. This is my God. That implies absolute clarity. Not only is the lens clear, but what you get to see is the essence of the message. Not just the message, but the essence of the message. So, v'aderech zeh, along similar lines, yuvon ha'efesh ben gilui abo b'machazeh v'ein ha'gilu d'vayero. We could say that there's a similar distinction between the early prophecies of Avraham Avinu, which is like a vision, and the more advanced prophecies of Avraham Avinu, which is Vayera, that Hashem appears to him. Vayera inyono re'ia. Vayera means you see it. You actually see it with your physical eyes. Which aligns with the concept of Zeh. In other words, he actually saw Hashem. He saw the essence of the experience, not just the message from the experience. As we've already pointed out, the word machazeh implies that this is something that's been translated into a different language. So therefore it implies a revelation that has been translated into a different form. It's not the original revelation. It's not absolute clarity. It's been coded. So when Avraham Avinu experiences the machazeh before his bris, yes, of course he's getting prophecy from Hashem. Of course Hashem is communicating with him. But it's somewhat coded. What has been coded? Just like if you take a word and you translate it into a different language, and people often tell you things get lost in translation. It's not as dynamic, it's not as clear as in the original. So that's exactly the message over here. What's a machazeh? The message has been translated. It's been somehow clouded just a little bit. I mean, you'll still get the message, you'll get the gist, you'll understand what it is that Hashem is trying to tell you, but you won't have that absolute clarity, and you certainly won't see the essence. So that's the distinction between Machazeh and Vayera, that prior to his bris, Avraham Avinu was unable to see things as they are, whereas after the bris, it was this absolute clarity. It's like, aha, now I know what you were actually saying. Now I get what the message really is. Similar to the distinction between an average Navi who has a koi prophecy and Moshe Rabbeinu who has a zeh prophecy. Now let's align that with the way that Hashem, that is the way that Avraham Avinu served Hashem prior to and following his bris. As long as Avraham Avinu didn't have a bris, so Elohikus, godliness, is not part of him. It's something you read about, you learn about, you meditate on, you know about, but it's not you. So therefore, what do you get to see? You don't get to see the essence. Just like you don't have the essence of godliness within you, you're not able to see the essence of the godliness in the message. But after Avraham Avinu has a bris, he sheds the sense of self. It's no longer about me, what I've learned, what I've heard, what I meditate on, what I think about. It's like I become completely bottled, completely submissive to Hashem. Whatever Hashem's going to wash over me, that's what's going to happen. Ah, so you're out of the way. You're not occupying space right now, which means your brain doesn't have to interpret messages into language that you can understand. Well, now we can actually show you the essence. The godliness has become the essence of you by having this bris, because you've let yourself go in favor of Hashem. Basically, if you think about it, the bris is a painful experience. So that's where you let yourself go and you allow Hashem in. And now you have the opportunity to see Hashem's messages as they are, not just as they're told or explained or translated. This incredible level of being able to actually see the essence of what Hashem wants to show and the essence of godliness itself, something which is achieved through having a bris, only a Jewish person could attain that experience. Because only we were given this incredible gift where Hashem says, these are your mitzvahs. Remember, a human being through a human's endeavor can never achieve these things. You can't make it happen. It's beyond, totally beyond your reach. So if Hashem offers it to you, then it becomes something which is available uniquely to you. So the fact that Hashem offered this uniquely to the Jewish people, the concept of Torah and mitzvahs generally, and more specifically this mitzvah of the Bris Milah, is why only Jews have the opportunity and have the potential to experience that revelation. That's why Hashem gave us the Torah in spite of the protests of the angels who said, why don't you rather give the Torah to us here in Shemayim, where we're quote-unquote perfect beings? You know why? Because we have something unique that angels don't have. Angels don't have distraction, they don't have temptation, they don't feel the Yetzer Hara, they have never experienced the exile of Egypt, they've never been in an environment that is limiting, so therefore they are unable to elevate any of those things to holiness because they don't engage them, it's not part of their reality. For us, it's very much part of our reality. Human limitations, phew, that we deal with every single day. Yetzer Hara, all the time. So we have access to the things that Hashem wants to elevate into holiness. That's why we specifically were given the Torah and its mitzvahs, and the Malachim were not given. And here's the kicker. Malachim are perfect. They're absolutely perfect. They never step out of line. They're never tempted to step out of line. They serve Hashem in a way that we couldn't begin to imagine. They're completely beyond our scope. And yet, they are created beings who can only elevate themselves to the ceiling of the potential of created beings, which is pretty much how Avraham Avinu was before the bris. because they were never given the opportunity to do something radical. They were never given the opportunity to take the lowest and to elevate it to the highest. They were never given the opportunity to break through that ceiling of the creation because they were never given mitzvahs. Now we understand why the Zohar makes a whole big deal about the angels arguing. What do you think? Hashem makes decisions based on a democratic vote of angels? Hashem's beholden to the angels. He can't do something lest the angels have an issue with it. No, it's much more profound than that. When you understand what angels are, then you can understand why there would be any issue with Avraham Avinu experiencing something at a particular level, which might be, so to speak, envy-provoking for angels. We're not saying that there's some kind of side reason over here. Don't allow Avraham Avinu to see and experience divine revelation because the angels are going to throw a fuss at the back. The fact that the angels could make an argument against Avraham is in itself evidence that Avraham Avinu is still part of their world, the world that is limited to what creations are capable of doing. In other words, because up until the point that Avraham Avinu had a bris, as we've already discussed, in spite of all of his best efforts, in spite of all of his growth, in spite of all of his spiritual development, which is all absolutely amazing and should be lauded, fact is, at the end of all of it, he still is very much in the world of the created. Which means he's effectively at the same spiritual level as an angel. An angel does amazing things, but only within the realm of the created. So, at that point in time, Avraham Avinu is quite similar to an angel. Just like an angel can't break out of the world of created beings, neither could Avraham Avinu. Therefore, just like an angel could never experience Hashem truly revealed, Vayera Elov, because that's something which is beyond the realm of the created being, and they're stuck in the realm of created beings. So they turn around and say, well, we can't get that experience, neither can Avraham Avinu. It's not a complaint. It's not saying it's not fair. It's stating a fact. It's a fact. It's a reality. We know our reality. We are stuck in the world of the created reality. So is Avraham Avinu. So therefore we get it. He could never experience something beyond that. That's what the Zohar means when it says the complaint of the angels. Not that they're complaining that there's some injustice over here, they're just pointing out the reality. So now we can, based on that, understand why Avraham Avinu's life is split into two parashas and why the names of those parashas are so significant. So now we get it. Avraham Avinu's life is definitely divided into two realities. Pre the bris, where he lives in the world of the created realm and cannot escape it, and post the bris, where he totally smashes through all boundaries and now experiences something that not only he couldn't have imagined, but the angels couldn't have imagined. So now we get why it's two chapters. We're going to see how those two chapters are reflected in the names of these two parashas. Lech lecho inyonei shehu hoylech v'yotzei migidrei hakodem b'chol hapratim v'yifaneh. The whole theme of Lech Lecha, and that's what the parasha is all about, is Avraham Avinu breaking out of the old mold, old habits, the way he was brought up, the thinking of his family, of the country that he lived in, leaving that all behind, completely shedding his past. Kimmel first because of, like the Torah says clearly, those words leave your land, your birthplace, your father's house, they represent all the various stages of development that a person would have to go through in order to get to a state of being completely dedicated to Hashem. So that's what Avraham does. He does this. Lech lecha. He pushes himself and he goes as far as human endeavor could take him. And that's the point. But it's lech lecha. It's a staged progress. You do this step, then you graduate to that step, then you move to that step. And it's predictable. And it is what we call hadraga. It's kind of a logical process, and you can track it, and you can plan it, and you can strategize. That's what the Torah tells us. You go out of all of these things. You break out of your old habits and your old thinking and your old commitments and so on and so forth. And where do you get to? Lech lecha. You get to the best of what you can achieve. Because he hasn't yet had the bris. So all Avraham Avinu can do at that point in time is lech, 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 lecha. Go, progress, grow, break barriers, teach people things they never imagined, shake up the world, become an Ivri, somebody who stands on the opposite end of perspective from everybody else, become Av HaMoen Goyim, the family of Nate, whatever. But it's lecha. It's all as far as you can go. Then you get to the next parasha. Now Avraham Avinu has had a bris, everything changes. Now it's not lecha, now it's not limited by you. Now it's vayera elav Hashem. Now it's what Hashem shows you, what Hashem exposes to you, what Hashem reveals to you, which is the essence. Now you're at a completely different level. This is not just about self. This is not just about your talents, your abilities, your insight. This is about your accepting Hashem into your world in the most incredible way. You're making Hashem part of the flesh of your skin by having a bris. So now you're a completely different human being, and now it's not limited to your capacity. Now suddenly Hashem can shower you and flood you with the most incredible insight and experience and power. So what does that teach us? My Avosim and Abonim, as we famously know, the stories that we're told about our patriarchs and matriarchs are all there as indicators and as empowerment for us so we should be able to do what we need to do and be able to succeed in doing it. So obviously any story that happens to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is a lesson for us in our lives, but particularly this story, because the Rambam, for example, points out that when we have a bris, we're actually having Avraham's bris. So it's something that's very personal to us and very close to us. So what's the lesson? Look at Avraham Avinu. He put in an incredible amount of effort. Incredible dedication. You know, start to think of it, and yet he didn't move. Only after he had a bris did he cross this incredible threshold and have real experience of divine revelation. So that teaches every single one of us, don't be satisfied. And say, look, I'm doing my best. I'm applying all my talents and I'm really pushing hard and I'm not lazy and I'm investing time and energy in doing Torah and mitzvahs. You're right. The lesson over here is, look at Avraham Avinu, 99 years old. I mean, that's near perfection. That's like 99% on an exam. You're as good as it's going to get. Not good enough. He pushes himself and pushes himself to reach a point of total, absolute, uncompromising dedication to Hashem, as the bris was going to do. In fact, a person could even reach a point where you have divine revelation, like Avraham Avinu did, and that wasn't reason for him to sit on his laurels. That was a reason for him to say, well, there's more. I have to be completely dedicated to Hashem. Just because I'm having an inspired spiritual experience does not mean that I'm anywhere close to where I need to go. And so that's the first lesson that we learn from this, is that a person can never satisfy themselves and say, I have achieved, I'm good, and I don't really have to put in any major effort to continue my spiritual trajectory. Actually got to put in a tremendous amount of effort. You got to keep going and keep pushing and keep schlepping, because you never know how much greater and further your dedication to Hashem could become. On the other hand, Olidach Gisa, this is a beautiful message, very encouraging message. The other side of the story is, look at Avraham Avinu. He pushed as hard as he could push. And he was honest, obviously. He pushed himself to the extent of his abilities. And then what happened? Then Hashem gives him a gift, the gift of being able to see through the clear lens and to be able to see the essence of Hashem, which is completely beyond his pay grade, completely beyond what any human being could ever hope or dream to achieve. And that's exactly the point. So yes, on the one hand, the message is keep going, keep pushing, keep growing, never ever stop. On the other hand, the message is you never know at which point Hashem says you've done something so incredible, you've pushed yourself to the extent of your abilities, now I'm going to gift you with an experience of godliness which is beyond your wildest dreams. And certainly that translates into a broader sense. As long as we push and push and push to do our very best to serve Hashem, Hashem will bring us Moshiach, which is the revelation beyond anything that we could have imagined, even beyond what Avraham Avinu could have had then. And if it's Hashem, that should happen for us absolutely immediately.